You'll turn back to God's Word, to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. This morning we're coming to think about the covenant renewed. The covenant renewed. Last weekend we had our communion service where we came to the Lord's table. We took the bread and the cup. And of course, these represent Jesus' body and blood. We talk about the covenant in his blood. Jesus' body, which was broken for us. His blood, which was shed for us. He is the perfect sacrifice, the substitute. He took the punishment that we deserve for our sin. And God has graciously entered into relationship with us through that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as we were coming to the Lord's table, we were considering the glory of God, the infinite, weighty perfections of God. We read in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, that God is full of grace, mercy. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast covenant love. And it is only through God's grace and mercy, only through God's love, that we can be brought near, because he has loved us in Jesus Christ. God has entered into relationship with us, into covenant with us, through showing us covenant love. Loving us when we didn't deserve to be loved. Loving us through Jesus Christ. The word covenant, it means a bond or a promise that's established between two parties. Here in this case, between God and his people. But we say that marriage is a covenant bond, a covenant relationship. And God has made unbreakable promises to his people. They're unbreakable promises because of who God is. He is the unchanging God, the Lord, the great I am. He is the God who is full of truth. And so the relationship that he has entered into with his people, that covenant relationship, that promised relationship, God does not change. God does not break his promises. In Exodus 34, after Moses hears of these perfections of God, God being gracious and merciful, God then renews the covenant with Moses and his people. God says to Moses, I will go with you. I will bring you to the land of promise. I will deliver you. You will live as my people. God has entered into the covenant relationship, and God is now saying, I will do these things. The covenant is being renewed. God is telling Moses, I abound in steadfast covenant loving kindness. The promises that I made with you, I will keep those promises. And so, Moses, I am now renewing that covenant. I am stating it before you yet again. That's what's happening here in Exodus chapter 34. And I want us to notice this morning that this covenant, it wasn't just a promise made to the people of Israel 2,000 years ago. But this was and this is a promise kept by God through the generations. This is the promise through which Jesus Christ would come to earth. This is the promise through which we come to know grace and mercy in our lives. It is this covenant promise of God that's kept and maintained throughout Scripture that has now called us from being outside his covenant family to being brought into his covenant family. This covenant being renewed is a covenant being renewed for us. God saying, I am the God, abounding in covenant love, and I keep my covenant promises. What God says to Moses, God is saying to us. So let's look at the covenant being renewed here in Exodus 34. And I want us to think, first of all, of the covenant reiterated. The covenant reiterated. In verses 10 to 28, we have this renewal, or the reiteration of the covenant. Verse 10, God says, behold, I am making a covenant. Now, we could be forgiven if we thought this was maybe going to be a new promise or a new covenant. After all, when God had entered into covenant with his people back in chapter 19 and again in chapter 23, and when the covenant was confirmed in chapter 24, the people were promised that if they live according to God's word, if they keep God's commands, then they're in the covenant family. The people were to fulfill their side of the covenant relationship. They said that they would obey all that God commanded. But what did the people do? When Moses was up the mountain, the people made an idol out of gold. They worshipped it. The people broke the covenant. The people failed on their side. And so when Moses comes down the mountain, he takes the two tablets of stones and he smashes them into the ground. It's like a contract. Moses is so angry, he tears it up. Surely that is now the covenant over and done with. Surely now God is saying, I've no time for you. You have broken the covenant. Therefore, I've no responsibility towards you. I'm done with you. But that's not what God is saying. This isn't a new covenant that he's making. This isn't a new set of promises. Look back to verse 1 of chapter 34. The Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. It's the same words that will go on these tablets of stone. The terms of the covenant are the same. The words were written in stone. It was a sign that these promises are permanent. You may have been unfaithful. You may have broken. But God is saying, I am faithful. I keep the promise. And so it's not a new covenant. But he's renewing. He's reiterating. He's repeating what has already gone on. Let's see that in chapter 34. Look at verse 11. Observe what I command you this day. God's already said that in the covenant. I will drive out the nations before you. God has already said that in the covenant. Verse 14, you shall worship no other gods. God has already said that in the covenant. Verse 17, you shall not make any image or any idol. Verse 18, you're to keep the Passover. Verse 21, keep the Sabbath. Verse 25, there's to be proper sacrifice. Even this whole section about the firstborn and redeeming, that's already been included in the covenant. So what are these words? These are words that have already been uttered by God in relation to the covenant. This isn't new. This isn't something different. But rather it's God renewing, reiterating the promises that he put in place. And I would argue that this is the covenant that is in place throughout Scripture. Because it's a covenant of grace. God entering into relationship with his people through the way that God has provided, through the means that he's provided. And God calling on his people to live in covenant obedience. As I have shown you grace and mercy, as I have poured out my abounding covenant love on you, so live as I have called you to do. Worship as I call you to worship. Be assured that there are eternal covenant promises as I've set out before you. The covenant is renewed. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." Listen to that word, new covenant. We'll come back to it. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." The word "new" that Jeremiah uses, it doesn't mean new according to time. It's not completely new. This is old. This is done away with. No longer of any use. And now something completely different has come along to replace it. That's not the new that Jeremiah is speaking about. It's the same in the New Testament. There are separate words for new. New sometimes does mean brand new. But often in the New Testament, it's the word that means new of standard, deeper, richer, fuller, new in its quality. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another." Well, that wasn't brand new. That wasn't something that the disciples had never heard of before. The word that Jesus uses is this new of richness. The command that I give you is going to carry a richer quality, a deeper quality to it. What would that quality of love be? It would be the fact that Jesus Christ was going to the cross, that he was going to lay down his life. The disciples would see for the first time what love truly is as Christ gave himself for the sin of his people. It's new according to its richness and its depth. And so the covenant in Jesus Christ, what Jeremiah is speaking about, isn't a completely new covenant, but it's a covenant, it's a promise of grace that is now richer and deeper. It has richer and deeper life breathed into it. It is renewed. It is revitalized. It is something that we can understand even more. And what that is Jesus Christ fulfilling the promises of God. For the people of Israel, the covenant was, "I will provide the way for you to approach me, that you might be in relationship with me." The people of Israel, God gave the sacrifices and the tabernacle that we've been looking at. But as we've seen, all of those are pointing to Jesus Christ. And the people of Israel, as they were partaking of these things, weren't to be trusting in these things themselves, but they were to be looking ahead to what they were pointing to the greatest sacrifice, the wonderful presence of God in the midst of his people. They were to look forward in faith. And now we can look back. We see the richness and the depth of this covenant promise. We see how God has entered into relationship with us through that sacrifice being Jesus Christ. It's not a brand new promise that God has made, but it's richer and it's deeper because it's founded in Jesus Christ, and we can see it in its depth and its glory. God hasn't changed. God's promises haven't changed. God's presence hasn't changed. God's standard hasn't changed. But we can see it fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We can see it clearly in Jesus Christ. It's not a brand new promise. It's renewed. And here is God reiterates and renews the covenant with Moses. I want us to hear these words this morning and to remind ourselves that God still speaks to us about his covenant relationship. And this morning, perhaps in your Christian faith, you've been a bit cold, a bit distant. Perhaps you've stumbled and failed. You feel your guilt, your sin. Remember, God is bringing his covenant promises to his people. He's bringing them to people who failed here. God says to us this morning, I'm making a covenant. I'm making a covenant with you. And if you've been cold or distant, listen to the words of God. I am making a promise of relationship. You may have failed, but remember, I renew. I show the depth and the glory and the richness of this relationship. I show you greater measures of the promises in Jesus Christ. And I'm reminding you this morning that I am the God of promise. God reiterates the covenant, and perhaps this morning we need to be reminded that God reiterates his covenant promises to us. But then secondly, we have here the covenant reassurance. Covenant reassurance. God says, behold, I am making a covenant. What a great comfort this must have been to Moses. It is God doing it. God is again uniting himself, binding himself to his people. Notice that it's God who acts. It's God who takes the initiative. God puts this covenant in place. He institutes it. It is God's work. It is God's doing. The relationship between God and his people begins with God himself. I am making a covenant. And it's also God who maintains this covenant relationship. We hear these words of covenant. We think of the people of Israel. And we just have that sinking feeling. Oh, Moses, we know what they've done in the past. We know what they're going to do again. God, why are you doing this? Why renew this covenant? Why remind them? Why bring it before them again? They keep failing. They fail all the time. For those who've been at the midweek studies in Judges, we were looking through Judges, and the people of Israel from Joshua onwards had entered into the promised land. And God had promised that he would drive out the nations, those wicked, sinful nations. The people had a duty to do. They were to be involved in that. They were to go to war with these nations and drive them out. And God promised, I will drive them out. What did the people of Israel do? Oh, it's got quite difficult and hard. Oh, these battles are wearisome. Look, we'll just leave them alone. We'll enter into a covenant with them. We'll tell them, look, we'll live at peace with you if you live at peace with us. We'll back off a little bit. We'll not help each other out. And then they started to make alliances with these other nations. They started to intermarry. They started to worship their gods, mix their religions. What God is saying here in the covenant reiteration in verses 11 to 16, the people have fallen into. God, you've stated the promises again, but they're feeble people, stumbling people, frail people. Why enter into covenant? But aren't we just like the people of Israel? Aren't we quick to break covenant with God? We fall short of God's standard. We are prone or are inclined to drift into sin, to fall into sin. And yet, God has entered into relationship with us. It's God who has written in stone or written in our hearts His covenant promises. And so what is it we see? We see God not letting His people go. What a reassurance for Moses. What a reassurance for the people of Israel. I am making a covenant. And He is the faithful God who maintains that covenant and doesn't let His people go. He shows steadfast, loving covenant kindness. What a comfort and what a reassurance for us. Through Jesus Christ, God shows us steadfast, covenant, loving kindness. In Jesus Christ, God has entered into relationship with us. He has initiated it. God is the one who has started that relationship. The Holy God has brought us up, brought us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He has entered into relationship. I have made a covenant with you. Yet we fall and we stumble. But He preserves. He sustains and maintains. Isn't that a great reassurance this morning? I know in my life, the number of times I've broken covenant with God. You know in your life, the number of times you've broken covenant with God. You haven't lived up to that standard. Covenant obedience just hasn't been there. And yet, God maintains that relationship. We are like the unfaithful wife in the relationship. And God is the loving husband. And although we've been unfaithful, God Himself remains faithful. Calls us back and brings us back. What reassurance we can have. Now, this doesn't mean that we can do whatever we like and just say, well, God will forgive me. If that is in your thinking, if you think to yourself, or perhaps if you live your life, it doesn't really matter what I do. At the end of the day, I can come back to God and all will be okay. If that's how you've been living your life, then perhaps you're actually not in covenant relationship with God. Perhaps you're outside of that covenant relationship and you've just convinced yourself that you are in relationship. Maybe you've thought to yourself, well, I go to church, therefore I must be in covenant relationship with God. Well, that's not the case. I live a good life most of the time, so I must be in covenant relationship with God. That's not the case. I've been baptized, therefore I must be in covenant relationship with God. That's not the case. How we know that God is in covenant relationship with us is when we come to God through Jesus Christ. When we're broken over our sin, when we ask for that forgiveness. And when God works in us in his grace and his mercy, there is reassurance. But please don't have false reassurance. Please don't think to yourself that how you live doesn't really matter because God will forgive you at the end of the day. What you do doesn't matter because God's forgiving. It does matter. And how you live, as we'll see in a moment, is a sign of God's covenant with us. But for those who are Christ's, for those who are in Christ, here is great reassurance. I am making a covenant. God establishes it, and God maintains it. And we see that in the covenant of grace throughout Scripture. There's reassurance. Then thirdly, and lastly, the covenant revealed. The covenant revealed. Back in verse 10, God says, I am making a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Part of the purpose of God entering into covenant with his people, into relationship with his people, is so that his glory can be revealed to the nations. Israel was to radiate God's glory to the nations. They were to show the nations there is a God who forgives. There is a God who saves. There's a God who's gracious. Israel was to put on public display the covenant of God. The people were to look on, and they were then to know these people are in relationship with God. What happens when Moses comes down from the mountain in verse 29? We're told that the skin of his face shone. He reflected, he displayed, he revealed something of the glory and the splendor of God. It was clear to the people, Moses is in relationship with God. He has met God. God has been gracious to him. He has seen the glory of God. And Moses is now radiating something of that glory to the people. This is what Israel was to do. They were to reveal the covenant relationship with God in their lives to the nations around them. But of course, for Moses, that shining face was a fading display of God's glory. It wasn't long-lasting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is using the shining face of Moses as a teaching point for the Corinthians. Paul is drawing a contrast between the covenant ministry in the Old Testament and the richer, deeper covenant ministry in the New. And he says in verses 7 and 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters of stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face, because of its glory, which was being brought to an end or fading, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? And then in verse 18 he says, And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Paul is saying, back in the Old Testament, Moses' face was shining, but it was a fading shine. It didn't last forever. That was part of the covenant that didn't have all of the richness and the fullness that we now see in Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, now the renewed covenant, the fuller covenant, the deeper, richer covenant, how much more will the glory of the Lord shine out from us? Because now we have the Spirit of God living in us. Do you know that you are here to reflect the covenant glory of God? We are here as a church to reflect the covenant glory of God. And we have the Holy Spirit within us to help us to do that. The covenant written on our hearts. God has entered into relationship with us in Jesus Christ. And he's given us his Spirit to live in us, so that the nations might know, so that they might see. God says, all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Friends, we are to live out our covenant lives before the world. Walk as his people. Go about your job as his people. Live in your families as his people. Speak as his people. We are to shine with a greater glory than the glory of Moses' face was shining. Because we have the Spirit within us. And unlike Moses, whose face had a diminishing light, we are actually growing in light. More and more should we be displaying the love, the glory, the grace of our covenant God in Jesus Christ. And the world will see. The world will take note. That doesn't mean that they will look at us and say, oh, how wonderful. At times it will mean they will look at us and say, we hate you. We despise you. Because we are reflecting the glory of God. But there will also be times where people will see and they will take note and they will, by God's grace, also come into the covenant family. And they too will then shine for his glory in the covenant. The covenant love of God. It's to be revealed and displayed amongst us and out to the nations. And perhaps for you this morning, maybe you're here and you see a difference in Christ's people. You know that there's something about them. You see something of this radiating grace. But you know they're not perfect, like the people of Israel. But what I want you to notice this morning is not the failure of the people, but the grace of the God who's entered into relationship with them. And he keeps his covenant promise, and he will never let his people go. And so what a gracious God he must be to lower himself down to their standard and to forgive them their sin and to lift them up and to bring them to himself. And any of the good that you see in us, it is his grace. It is his covenant kindness. And so see that glory and turn to him. This morning we've been reminded of God's covenant. He has entered into relationship with his people in his grace. And so let us leave here this morning, not just thanking and praising God for his covenant, but let us also renew our own commitment. Say again this morning as we leave here, just as God has entered into covenant with me, so let me live according to his covenant. Let me live it out. Let me reveal it. Make it in your mind this morning. Decide upon it this morning that just as God reminds you of his covenant, you will renew your commitment to the God of all grace and mercy, in Jesus Christ. Amen.